The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right. And he assured me that he had his spin camera on, making it look good on the internet. Yeah. It's good to be here. Glad to be here.
Who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, just to be with us, speak to us. God, just for a few minutes, we give you our minds, we give you our spirits. I just pray you'll take us where you want us to go, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Now, can I move around? Is that all right? Is that permissible? I don't want some trap door. All right. Yeah, I see that. I see this where the speakers are. Now, I'm going to give y'all the calm down version. In my church, I like props. And I like things that are a little bit dangerous. Because that makes things exciting. I think church should be exciting. All right, so I'm going to give y'all the... Now, this is a drill. Now, this is one of them good ones. It's a 18 volt drill, and Pastor Todd told me, please bring it back. You know, I mean, now you can do a lot of things with this drill. You can do a lot of stuff with it. I mean, you can use it. You can use it to measure this podium here. This thing is so many drills long. You can do that. You can do it if you're a fisherman. I mean, it's pretty heavy, especially with that battery in it. If you got a little John boat, a little small John boat, you can tie a rope around that and use it as an anchor. That's a pretty good anchor. That'll do something. You can even purchase them for around here for... door stops. We can just set these things and put door stops. But I'm thinking there's another purpose for it. I'm thinking the creator of this didn't have a boat anchor in mind. And so today I want to talk to you about purpose for a few minutes. I want to talk to you about purpose. I want you to take notes. I want you to write some thoughts down. I want you to read them this week. I want it to bother you. I want it to stir you up, because I think one of the main reasons that the body of Christ is in the shape it's in is the people in the churches don't know their purpose. They don't know the purpose that they're here. Now, let me define purpose for you real quick. Give you the definition of purpose. The object for which one strives or for which one exists. The object for which one strives or which one exists. Now, can you put Isaiah 50:43 back up there? Oh, I mean, if you can't, I understand. I mean, y'all are so technologically astute up here, you know. All right. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what God just said, what we just read. And I want this to get on you. Because if the purpose of our lives is to go to heaven, then why don't he just save us and kill us at the same swoop? Let us hang around. You know, it wouldn't be, you know, there'd be a lot fewer old people. There'd be a lot fewer on Medicaid and all that, you know. And the ones that are old, you go, yeah, that's a real heathen right there because God still got them around. You know, and we don't understand what God made us for. Now, I want you to look at what this verse says. It's got a little feedback. You might want to bring it down a little bit more. Please, sir. Here's what I want you to understand. God said in that verse, I love it. When you read the Bible, you got to understand sometimes where do we get our emotions from? Where did we get all of our emotions? We got them from God. God has anger. God has jealousy. God has all the emotions. All right? But thank God, God doesn't make decisions by his emotions. Because if I was in charge, I'd have wiped a whole bunch of people out and just got mad and squashed them. But God doesn't do that. Now, I want you to understand this, but sometimes in the scripture, God's got an attitude. And it's not sinful attitude, he just got one. He wants you to understand who's talking here. You know, like when my boys, when you know, they kind of bump off at me every once in a while and I say, "Hey boy, I ain't your punk friends, I'm your daddy." And your daddy says, "I'll whip your butt right here in front of everybody." You get a little attitude. Now here's what he says. "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, him who formed you, O Israel." Notice what he's saying. "Thus says the Lord." We're not talking about God, just God. We're talking about the one who created you, the one who formed you, the one who bought you. I bought you back. That word redeemed means to pay the price that you owed. Thank God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Woo! Aren't you glad that we don't have no more debtor's prison? I'm happy about that. I mean, back then, see, you got to understand, you got to put yourself in. When he said, "I redeemed you," see, they understand that more than we do. Because if you couldn't pay your bills, there wasn't credit cards back then, by the way. Sweet Jesus. If you couldn't pay all your bills off, well, you went to prison. And a lot of times, they put you in prison, you were the main breadwinner. So you stayed in prison a long time because of your debts. Until somebody came and redeemed you. You get that? And so God is saying, "I'm the one who created you. I formed you. I was there at your beginning. I'm the one who bought you back from your sin." That's the God that's talking to us here. And he says that he called us by name. Look what it says. "That I am the one, I have called you by your name." I mean, look how individual that is. He knows us by name. He knows exactly who we are. He was there. Psalms 139 says that he was there forming us in our mother's womb, that we were wonderfully created. We were formed. He was there putting DNA. I don't care if your mama and daddy want you. I didn't care. I don't care about all that. God is the giver of life. And I cannot believe that God went to all that trouble just to get us to get by and survive. I cannot believe that God just so we could have good church. I cannot believe the God of details of intricate details went to all that. What are y'all looking at behind me? Okay. Got it up there. I cannot believe the God that was of intricate detail went to all that trouble just to get you to stay in bondage to sin or be defined by your past mistakes or to live life that is miserable or you just survive or I'm getting by, just trying to get by, Brother Allen, just trying to make it, you know. And we love to hear all those old songs, sweet low, sweet cherry, oh Lord, come and get us, and all this stuff. And the whole time, God had a thought in mind when you were born. God had something in mind when you were born. It was a purpose. Everybody has a purpose, and it's bigger than just getting by and surviving. Everybody has one. God has a plan for your life. John 12, 27 says, "For this reason, for this purpose, I have come." Jesus Christ had a reason. He had a purpose. And see, part of the problem, I don't care how big your church is. I don't care how, you know, one man with a purpose changed the world. Revolutions are started with groups smaller than this. It's when they realize we have a purpose and a destiny that's bigger than ourselves, that's bigger than my comfort, that's bigger than anything else, and it begins to drive us. And see, that's what I don't see in the Christian faith. That's what I don't see. We're trying to retire and play golf every day. Can I just say something to you? Retirement is not in the Bible. You don't retire from the things of God. I had a lady tell me one time, you know, I've been in church way too long. I've been pastoring. Next year will be 30 years. Yeah. Whoa. You know, I hadn't been surprised in about 10 years. I still remember the last time I was surprised. When somebody told me something, I went, I'm surprised. You know. But let me say something to you. It's amazing to me how little we really understand. We've been in church all our lives. How little we really understand about what God is asking us to do. I had a lady tell me, she said, "Yeah, I taught Sunday school for 30 years. Now it's somebody else's turn to teach kids." She has no idea. You don't retire from the purpose of God. You finish it and die. That's what I want to do. I want to finish everything that God has for me to do, and I just want to drop dead. I don't want no long, prolonged, you know, victory tour or whatever. I just want to drop dead. Do you understand? Because I don't want to go through life purposeless. Now, what does a purpose give you? I want you to write these things down. I want you to think about them because so many people don't have them. First of all, a purpose gives you a sense of satisfaction. A purpose gives you a sense of contentment that can't be. A purpose gives you like you're going somewhere. You're doing something of kingdom value. Now, I am not talking about your job. I am not talking, you know, it's amazing to me that 83% of America doesn't like what they go to work every day. They hate the job they have. Well, by God, change. I can't do that. I don't know what. Well, quit complaining then. You know, it's amazing that we have no sense of satisfaction, and the government is trying to give little Johnny self-esteem by not failing him, you know, or won't let us paddle him anymore. Now, oh, we don't want to hurt little Johnny's psyche and everything, you know, all that stuff. Let me tell you, God knows that fulfilling your sense of purpose gives you self-esteem. The government can't give you self-esteem. Being never told that you're wrong doesn't give you self-esteem. That makes you an idiot. I mean, we got a bunch of idiots running around that have no idea, don't know, none of them in Washington know how to say, you know, I'm wrong. Oh, my God. We ought to pull that out of the English language. Purpose gives you a sense of satisfaction. Purpose gives you something to get up for. Purpose makes you, I got a friend of mine that's the head coach at Mandeville High School. He was in our church for years, and he moved to Mandeville. He laid down a six-figure job because he wasn't happy. He knew God had called him to work with teenagers, so he became a head football coach. And he loves it. He's making about half of what he was making. His family loves it. He's got a sense of purpose. He goes to work early. Why? Because he's excited about it. Now, what's your purpose? What's your purpose? What are you excited about? It gives you a sense of, you know, when I pick up this thing, I mean, when I pick this up right now, I mean, I just want to, I want to take something down and take something apart. You know, I did this at my church with a chainsaw, and I had things, I just started cutting things and throwing, you know, and, I mean, it's exciting, man. You know, Christian life ought to be exciting. Why? Because I'm fulfilling my purpose. And my destiny. I'm doing something that has eternal value. If all you're doing is living for retirement and worried about going to see the doctor and all that, you have no eternal value. No wonder you're miserable. I mean, look, man, I tell my people all the time, you know, and I know Brother Morris is much more gracious than I am. But I tell my people all the time, look, if you're mean as hell, don't tell them you go to my church. Because, man, we ought to be different. I mean, somewhere I read light, darkness. I mean, they're just trying, the world's shooting things in their veins and all this stuff and getting divorced and all this craziness, doing crazy stuff. And we're supposed to be different. But we're just as survival mode as they are. Well, brother, I'm just trying to get by. It gives you a sense of satisfaction. It gives you a sense of satisfaction, a reason to keep going, self-esteem, all those things. Next thing a purpose does for you, it defines decisions. It defines decisions for you. It defines decision. When I surrendered and I knew what my purpose was, I had to break up with a girl that I was dating for 2 or 3 years. Just had to do it. You know why? I'm going this direction. She wasn't a bad girl, whatever. I'm going this direction. She's going that direction. There was no decision to be made. I broke up with her a year later. Amy Hickman sat down in a big group, just sat down in the chair right beside me. Nobody set us up. Nobody did nothing. Nobody did, you know, just boom. And in about 30 minutes of conversation, she said, well, I feel God called me to be a pastor's wife. I went, oh, really? Better check this girl out a little bit more and see what's happening. It makes decisions for you. See, some of you have crisis. See, like my house, we don't decide whether we're going to church or not. I mean, my boys don't get them going, well, you know, I'm tired. If you live in my house, you go to church because that's part of our purpose. We're local church people. We were born to build the local body. We go to church. It defines decision. It defines me and my wife, you know, we had the same purpose. You know, my family, where we go on vacation, how we spend our money. My purpose, I don't go to the casino to eat because it goes against my purpose. And you go, oh, well, brother, it's just food. Well, see, I've counseled prostitutes that the casinos buy for big spenders that lose a lot of money. I don't want my money you doing that. It goes against my purpose. See, and that's an easy to see. I don't have to debate, oh, but the crab legs are so good. You understand, it's no decision. It's no decision that, I mean, I don't have to, we do family time. I make all my children come together, you know, at least 3 times a week we come together and have family time and pray. We read the word together and we talk together and we pray together at least 3 times, hopefully every night. But sometimes, you know, my life is crazy. But we do it as part of our, my 13-year-old is going to Mexico here in a couple of weeks on a mission trip. He's missing school. He's going to Mexico. And you go, oh, brother, I'm in Mexico. Well, he says, fear not. I'd redeemed you. Listen to me. If I'm walking according to my purpose, listen to me. I want you to hear. See, this is what I'm talking about is walking in faith, but you got to know where your faith is. You got to know what your purpose is to have faith. If I'm walking in faith and doing what God calls me to do, there is absolutely nothing Satan can do to me. If I walk through a fire and I'm walking out my purpose, by God, God's going to save me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O King, our God will save us. And then even if he don't, we still ain't going to worship you. I mean, when it's my time, I'm going. If I'm walking according to my purpose. But the problem is, we don't find out what our purpose is. We just try to go the path of least resistance. Well, that's what sewage does. Just thought I'd throw that thought in there. Where we go, you know, this church has a purpose. It has a purpose. But it will not, listen to me carefully, it will not fulfill its purpose unless you, the people of this church, fulfill your purpose. See, I won't go as far as I need to go without the people in my church going as far as they can go. Why? Because we're connected. We're part of the body of Christ. It's important that you fulfill your purpose because we're connected. There are people that drag around limbs and all that, and they can still function, but there's a lot more they could do if they didn't have to do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Purpose gives you this sense of satisfaction. It defines decisions for you. Like my decisions to let my son go to Mexico. Hey, that goes along with our purpose. It goes along with who we are. Does that make sense? Third thing that purpose gives you, it helps you, and I'll just put the old religious cliche, it helps you walk the walk. I want to throw out a couple of words here. Words like sacrifice. Words like commitment. See, we have a great, great problem in the body of Christ. We don't want to sacrifice and we don't want to commit to anything. Well, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like, Brother Morrison, so I can't commit to that. Oh, that's a good thing, but I don't know where I'm going. I can't commit to that. You won't do those. The reason we have a problem, it's not a sacrifice and commitment problem. We have a purpose problem. Because if you know your purpose and it's got eternal value and you're getting that satisfaction, man, you don't mind sacrificing for it. You don't mind committing to that because that's what I was created to do. That's why I'm here. I'm here to do that right there. And so you don't mind sacrificing for it. You don't mind being committed to it. You don't mind dying for it. See, we're trying to survive and live as long as we... I don't want to live a long life if it ain't got no purpose. I don't want to sit around and drink coffee and rock in a chair and go, oh, man, oh, but look at the squirrels today. I don't want to do that if I ain't got no reason. What we going to do today? I don't know. Let's go play. I mean, them guys up at my golf course, they are mean. I mean, they play golf every day. That's all they do is play golf every day. And man, you get in their way like the world has shut down. Because they ain't got no purpose. And when you don't have a purpose, then write this down. When you don't know what your purpose is, you innately become self-centered. What do you mean sacrifice? What do you mean commit? What are you talking about? I ain't doing that. Makes you walk through hard times. You walk the walk, you sacrifice, you commit. Hard times. Jesus, you know, the old saying, Jesus, when he, who you say that I am, and went all around, and Peter said, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you. Well, we don't read the rest of the chapter. Man, that same Peter, he turned around and rebuked him. He said, I got to go to Jerusalem. Peter said, uh-uh. I ain't letting you go to Jerusalem. That bad stuff going to happen to you. That was his purpose. And when his friend got in the way of his purpose, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Some of you need to rebuke a few people around you. But you ain't going to do it if you don't know your purpose. And so they'll just keep sucking the life out of you. They'll just keep sucking the life out of you. And you won't ever do anything of eternal value. And you'll get to heaven and go, ooh, I'm glad I made it. And God will look at you and go, man, I had so much for you. I had so much destiny for you. We've got, and I'm going to jump in this. Ooh, son, you could have heard a cold chill when I preached this in my church, buddy. I mean, it was one of the quietest times. Maybe the Lord don't want me to say it here. Take care of me. What have you got to offer me? Handout, social security mentality. You know, like, what's disability? That's the word I'm looking for. Now, I don't need no comments. I don't need no amens. But we've got people that want someone to take care of them so they can just sit around and do nothing. Now, I am unbelievably compassionate. That's why they don't let me in charge of anymore. I was breaking our church because I was in charge of benevolence. They'd come and ask me, and they put a tear, you know, put a tear tone in it, and yeah, I'd write the check, man. But just because somebody's on disability doesn't mean God's purpose is over. Do you understand? I mean, there are some people in that. Now, I do have a problem with people that are on disability, and they go, I see them out at the golf course, and they go, oh, my back's hurt, I'm on disability. Hey, I got a little problem with that. That puts sandpaper on my flesh a little bit. But I don't care. We've got this thing where we want people to take care of us. What we shop churches around. What can you offer us? instead of saying, God, according to my purpose, where do you want me? Where can I fulfill my purpose? I've got people in my church because I don't mind you coming and sitting around and all that, but after a while, I'm going to come and ask you. You know, it takes me a while. We got about 3,000 people in our church, and so it takes me a while to get around to everybody, but, you know, eventually, I'm going to, what's your passion? What's your purpose? What do you think about when nobody's thinking about it, when you don't have anything to think about? I try to engage them. I mean, we got people that go to every old folks' home in our county once a week and just read the Bible. They read the Bible to them. Had this lady walked up and said, "I've always had this thing for old folks." I said, "Well, we're going to help you fulfill that thing that's in you." She said, "I've had it as a little kid." See, we're not trying to make you do something you hate. We're just trying to find out what God put in there and stir it up. Does that make sense? That's what purpose is. God can make you, and then you go, well, she goes, first day, three people. And she said, "Look, now I ain't reading that Revelation stuff and the other stuff I don't understand, Daniel and all that." I said, "Just read whatever you want to, just as long as it's the Bible." She said, "Well, that's all I'm doing. I ain't, you know, and I'm going to tell them I don't know if I don't know." I said, "I do it all the time." Three people came the first time. She was nice, read the Bible to them, smiled at them. Six people came the second time. Next time, 12 people came to hear her read the Bible. Two of them stayed after and said, "I don't think I'm saved." And she comes back to me, weeping her eyes out, saying, "I haven't felt this excited about my Christianity in years." She said, "I got to lead to me just by reading the Bible to them, taking something that she liked to do." I got a lady leading a Swedish weaving life group. I have no idea what that is. But she's teaching a bunch of, and they started inviting a bunch of doctor's wives, and now the doctor's wives are coming to her Swedish weaving deal. And they're getting prayed for. They're non-Christians, but they're getting prayed for, and she's excited about it because she's found her niche, her purpose. The biggest place for buried treasure is the cemetery. The creative creator of the universe, the God who made all of nature, where we just go, wow, the God of the universe was there forming you, putting stuff in you, putting things inside of you, and you're going to tell me you're going to die with that. That is a tragedy. I had a man that loved to write notes and he loved to pray for people. Never forget this as long as I saw it with my own eyes. He would write notes and pray for people and all this stuff. He would write notes and he couldn't get around much anymore. He would write encouraging words to people. He had a stroke where his right side curled up. He would not be defined. See, we just cave in so much. Little pressure, little fire. We just cave in. Oh, I made mistakes in my past. I did this, I did that. And we forget the redemption of Jesus Christ. That there ain't nothing in hell that is bigger than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I give my life to Him, and man, this man, I sat there and watched Him. I watched him. He could, he was drooled down one side. He couldn't speak. It was slurred. He would take the phone book with his good hand and he would drop his hand on it and he would go down the phone book. Every day he would take a little section of the Picayune phone book and pray it through. He prayed for strangers. Every morning he said, oh, I can't meet with you. I'd come by and see him. He said, I can't meet with you yet. I'm not finished praying this page. His purpose, even when his body was riddled, his purpose never died. What is yours? You will not live life the way God created you to live until you find your purpose. And I don't care how old you are. Man, 1 year walking with God will be worth a lifetime of not. I don't care what age you are, find it. And you will begin to discover things in your life. You'll have more fun, more excitement. You'll be doing stuff you never dreamed you would be doing. I never dreamed if I gave, me and my wife stood before the Lord our first night and we said, Lord, our lives is yours. I never dreamed he was going to give me 11 kids. I mean, I just went. I never dreamed I was married to the most fertile woman in the universe. I mean, I never dreamed. But the purposes of God begin when you give it over to him. You begin to seek him. He said, I called you to be a father. That's part of my purpose. Yeah, and now people tell us all the time, oh my God, I'd kill myself or whatever if I had to do that. Well, that ain't your purpose. That ain't your purpose. What's your purpose? Quit being defined by your past. Quit being defined by small thinking. Small thinking's killing us. Well, I'm just trying to make it. And we serve the God who makes whales. Why did God make whales? This is when I started researching this. Why did God make whales? The Bible says that God made whales to frolic. He was just showing off. Man, I like them. There. Have some whales. Right? And that's all they do. They just swim around. Just play. Now that kind of God goes to that kind of detail. Are you telling me the crown jewel of creation, he wants you to just get by? Are you kidding me? He wants you to be addicted to painkillers and drugs and be dictated to by your past? Are you kidding me? You won't sacrifice. You won't commit. You won't walk through hard times without a purpose. Purpose. All them guys, anybody in here Saints fans? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Dallas fan. But anyway, you know. Anyway, let me tell you something. We all cheer and holler and everything. I played college football, and I want you to know those guys out there on Sunday morning, they have put their selves through hell. They didn't just walk out there and play. Son, they have sacrificed. They have been committed. They have walked through pain and suffering for the purpose of walking out there on Sunday. See, your purpose will make you do that. If you have trouble sacrificing, it's because you got a purpose problem. Because the walk of, according to my Bible, now y'all correct me if I'm wrong, my Bible says he wants us to give our life away. Everything about my life. I remember one first time I gave away a car. It was cool. It was fun. We gave it to him. Amy said, well, what are we going to do without our van? You know, we gave away our van. And I said, well, I was having so much fun giving it away, I forgot to ask God what we're going to do next. But, you know, he takes care of us. What's your purpose? Now, anybody in here asking yourself, how do I find mine? I hope you are. Well, I got an answer for you. How do you find your purpose? First of all, you've got to connect with the Creator. The guy that built this, I guarantee you, he had a thought in mind. The guy that built this, he had something in mind. The guy that put you together, the God that put you together, you gotta connect with him. You can't connect on Sunday morning once a week and expect. You've got to commune with the Creator. You've got to fast. You've got to pray. You've got to begin to ask him. You've got to begin to write down thoughts. I've got to commune with the Creator. Number two, I've got to know how I am made. It helps me to know. Look, if I had to be an accountant, I'd shoot myself. I would die a slow and painful death. But some people love that stuff. They're wired that way. My wife likes to write down every little detail. She likes it. And I'm just like, just give me the bottom figure. How much I got left. That's all I want. All right, well, God made me that way. Do you understand? God made me this way. I mean, I had a revelation the other day. I had a new baby. It was a surprise. You know, it was. I mean, we thought we were through. Our youngest was 8. And we said, gave away everything, moving on to grandparents' thoughts. Well, I don't know what God's doing. But we had another one, another boy. And so we're cruising along, and all of a sudden I realized, I looked at the figures of how old I'm going to be when he graduates high school. Dang, I said, Amy, I got to start exercising. I got to start throwing the ball again. I got to get myself in shape. So I started exercising. I look at all these guys that are trying to get. We got a bunch of guys in our church into this CrossFit thing. You know, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's the kind of stuff I do to get in shape for football. You know, painful, yeah. And all of a sudden, I had a revelation. I was looking in the mirror, and I said, man, I want to be thin. I want to be thin. I was saying thin. I want to be able to wear those thin clothes and all that. And all of a sudden, one day, I had a revelation. I was working out and everything. I had a revelation that I was going for the wrong goal because I ain't been thin a day in my life. I mean, it just hit me. I was 11 pounds when I was born. Yeah, I was my mama's last. She said, I can't take that no more. You know, I was big when I was born. I've been big my whole life. I mean, even if I got thin, my bones would stick out big. And so I realized, man, that's not the way God made me. I need to get healthy. I need to work out so I can do stuff and all that and quit worrying about being thin. You understand that God made you a certain way. God's purposes are going to use what he put inside of you. Does that make sense? But you got to find out. You got to consult the Creator. And until you find yours, go help somebody else fulfill their purpose. That's the last one, number three. Until God speaks to you about yours, go help somebody else. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. I'm going to help you out. Go be a part of that. Give your life away. Find some place to give your life away. Pure and undefiled religion. Take care of widows and orphans. If you can't find something to do, go find you an orphan and help. Or a widow. And you go, oh, well, brother, that's just... You start making excuses for not giving your life away. And I'm telling you, God had a purpose for you in mind when you were born. And if you're not fulfilling it, you're just getting by. And God didn't send His Son on that cross to die for you just to get by. Does that make sense? He didn't do it just for you to get by. And so my question to you is the first question I ask you, what's your purpose? And here's what I want you to do. Because I know that's a different... I'm not going to have an invitation. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pray for you. But let me tell you what I am going to do. I'm praying that the Lord stirs you up. Because listen to me. Every time I fulfill my purpose, somebody else gets helped. The reason our world is in the shape it's in is because we got a bunch of self-focused, self-centered people. Well, who's going to take care of me if I take care of them? Who cares? I'm fulfilling my purpose. This was what I was born for. This is what God put in my heart. And it gives me, by itself, it gives me a sense of satisfaction. That I'm living for something bigger than myself. One of the ways Peter Lord, I heard him say this years ago, stuck with me. Peter Lord said, I want you to picture your funeral. And then I want you to picture what you want them people to say about you. Live toward that. You really want them to say, oh, Grandpa was funny. Oh, he always made us laugh. Really? That's how high we're setting the bar now? Grandpa left us money. He was nice. Or do you want them to say something like, man, he was following Jesus till the day he died. He was doing something of eternal value till the day he died. Man, I'm here because he lived. I want to see people in heaven that walk up to me and say that. That's one of my things. I want to be in heaven and have people that I've never even seen before or don't know them walk up to me and say, man, I'm here because you lived. Man, that's a lot bigger than living for retirement. Because if you live for stuff, guess what's going to happen? They're going to fight over your stuff when you're gone. I mean, I told my kids, I said, we've already purchased a little piece of land that's by my mom's. I said, that's your inheritance. I'm giving everything else away. That's yours. And I keep adding kids. Their portion gets smaller and smaller. Yeah. My oldest said after Matthew was born, my oldest said, "I ain't gonna get nothing out of this deal anyway." I said, "Probably not." I mean, even my life insurance policy. My life insurance policy, I'm taking out enough to pay for my funeral because I don't believe they should have to pay for it. I'm gonna pay for that. The rest of it's gonna go to stuff, kingdom stuff. And I know the Bible says a man that leaves an inheritance, it's a good thing to leave an inheritance. I know the Bible says it. I'm leaving an inheritance. An inheritance of a purpose. Does that make sense? Now my question to you is, and I hope you lay in bed tonight, because especially, I think the Lord sent me here to preach this. A lot of you are to the age where, you know, I mean, I'm fixing to be 50. And I'm, oh yeah. Me and this lady right here, we're about the youngest ones in the room, you know. You get to your age, you shift into neutral and just kind of, God did not save you for that. He's got stuff. He'll have you doing stuff. If you'll just say yes to him, God, I want to fulfill my purpose. He'll have you doing kingdom stuff that'll make you'll be excited to get up in the morning. Brother Morris ought to be having to think up that stuff for y'all to do. Hey, we want to do something. Let's do something. Well, I ain't got time. I ain't got time, brother. I ain't got time. I can't commit because I ain't got time. Got to watch Oprah every day. Got to this or that. I'm coming to the age where if it don't have kingdom value, it needs to be gone. If it doesn't have some kingdom value in my life. Anyway, I want to pray for you. I'm going to leave you mulling in these thoughts. And you know what will happen? If you choose not to do anything with this sermon, you know what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. And you'll just keep diddly bumping along till you die. Worried about this, worried about that, doing the, you know. And nothing will change. And we'll all ask for Jesus to come back. When it seems to me that the world, it seems to me God is going to have to come back and save the world from us. I better go down there. They're going to kill that devil. You know, one of our purposes of our church, one of our stated purposes is, we want to make it hard. We want to make it hard for people to go to hell from our county. That's one of our stated purposes. Now, they can go to hell if they want to, but they ought to have to run over us to do it. That's one of our stated purposes. We need to make it hard for people to go to hell. We're loving on them. We're doing outreaches. We're witnessing to them. I see that y'all are doing this Billy Graham deal. Awesome. Awesome. We're doing that too. You know, I mean, we ought to make it hard for them to go to hell. They can go to hell. God gave them a choice. But they ought to have to run over you to do it. We're too worried about offending them. Oh, I don't want to offend them, Brother Allen. Well, you're going to let them go to hell, but they won't be offended. But they're going to burn in hell? I mean, that don't make no sense. So my question to you is, see, there are ideas in here. When I walked in, I felt like the Lord spoke to me about a puppet team. Old people can do puppets. It ain't just for kids. Man, there are all kinds of ideas, man. Wow, they're there. Let yourself flow. If it's God, answer it, man. I mean, if it ain't. All right, can I pray for you?
Yes.
Is this long enough? Does the internet cut off at a certain time, or are we through? I had to watch. My wife said, now, you know they live stream that. You better not say nothing bad. So I did good, man. Didn't cuss, didn't do nothing, you know. Well, I did say mean as hell, didn't I? I was trying to be clean. Now my question to you is, what's your purpose? What's your purpose? Find it. Live it out. Now listen, let me just say something. You said worship, didn't you? Who said worship? All right. No. That ain't what I'm talking about. We're all made to worship. I ain't talking about general. We're all made to witness. Or, you know, that's the logos. I'm talking about the rhema. Why are you here? I do not believe you are here by accident. I believe God put you here for a purpose. Now, what's yours? What's yours? And walk it out, and you'll see glory. It'll become fun. It'll be exciting. You'll set the atmosphere for miracles. All kinds of things. But see, we sit around, beg, and do nothing, and ask God to do miracles. Come on, God, why don't you do miracles like you do in foreign countries? Because they're fulfilling their purpose. They're going for it. They're sacrificing. Does that make sense? And I don't want to live the rest of my life. I want to be driven. I don't want to coast. Amen. I love you guys. I pray for this church a lot. This church, you got a purpose. What is it? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here. God, I pray that your anointing will be on them. I pray that your grace will be on them. God, I pray you'll stir them up. God, I pray that that their minds will not rest until they seek you. Those that seek me find you. And I pray that they will begin to have the courage to step out, to do the right thing, to the courage to follow their purpose, Lord. God, I thank you for that. We love you, Lord. Daddy, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.